Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
This is a bonus episode, Sam. You've called me down to London.
It was an emergency.
And I've jumped on a train for this emergency bonus episode.
Two incidents now, like Top Flight Time Machine. You know, people get in touch on Twitter and occasionally go, oh, you guys have got inside my head because I started shouting at my kid in a Roy Keane impression or something like that.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, fucking hell, I'm kind of flattered and weirded out, but glad we're making an impression.
Yeah.
Well, now I've realised it works both ways because things happen to me and I think, I've got to tell Andy about this. It's the only way I can process it. In a way, mate, I may have developed, and I've done this with other people in my life, codependency with you and the cunters.
Okay.
Because it's almost like a thing happens and I don't feel like I've honoured it or processed it emotionally until I shared it with you and by extension the cunter community.
Through the time machine filter sort of thing.
So two things happened yesterday. Well, one isn't, you know, one was just I think it's one of the strongest emails we've had. You know, you've read it now because I alerted you to it. And I'll be honest, I was reading it on the toilet and I was in the house on my own and I lolled out loud.
It was a bog lol.
And it was amazing. I'm just glancing at that. There's so many great details and I thought this will warrant... This is almost like this could be a deep dive, this story.
I found myself asking myself, is this bullshit? But then I looked at it and I thought, you couldn't make this up.
You couldn't make it up. But we'll let the cunters decide. There might be people here and think this is too good to be true.
Yeah.
So we've got that to get through. Sent it in.
I think he has to be anonymous.
Oh, fuck!
I'll beep that out.
That's so funny. He says at the end, this is not a burner email.
Very obviously not a burner email, so would really appreciate you not using it.
Said his fucking name straight away. Okay, bleeped out. Apologies. Right.
Hope I remember
you got
to bleep that
out. And as I also alerted you to on Twitter, there was an incident at my kid's school. Again, she told me after I picked her up and I laughed so much, I just sort of thought, this needs some examination. You might actually think it's inconsequential because on reflection this morning, I thought, maybe it's not that. But to me, it was great. And lastly, so I called this emergency podcast.
Yeah.
But since I called it, I've had an incident this morning.
Oh, my God.
As well of a... I suppose you could call it a Larry David type incident.
Right.
On my way here earlier.
Well, which one do you want to call it in the first?
I'll tell you about the incident this morning.
Right.
So before coming here to meet you at our studio, I say our studio, the studio that we've stolen into today, I had to do a very early meeting at a book publisher's with an author. The author is called Rutger Bregman. Do you know who that is?
I've heard of his name, yeah.
Yeah, so he's been viral a lot on the internet. He's a Dutch historian, and he's written a book called Utopia for Realists, and it came out a couple of years ago, but recently it's gone massive because he was the guy who turned up at Davos at the big billionaire summit and told them all to pay their fucking taxes.
Didn't he? Yeah, I saw that.
And then he turned up on Fox News with, what's he called, Tucker Carlson?
Something like that, yeah.
And he had a go at him for saying that he was basically a millionaire being paid by billionaires to spread lies about immigration or something.
Okay.
Anyway, so he's a firebrand. Yeah. He's a fucking firebrand, right? So he's written this book, and I write for The Big Issue, right? And I do a column for him, occasionally do interviews for him. So I went and they said, will you go and interview him about his big ideas? Anyway, I don't even know why I'm telling you all that. It's just funny that I've found myself in his company.
He's been on Twitter this morning kicking off because he was on This Week with Andrew Neil last night.
First thing he talked to me about.
Well, really, because he was saying it was such an amateurish setup.
Well, it was sort of like there was parallels with spending time with you in as much as sometimes I arrive and it turns out that you're just off the back of taking on the elite, sometimes the elite or sometimes just cunts on social media,
yeah,
and you've been through it, and then you sort of go, yeah, a bit of trouble. I've had a bit of trouble. And I kind of am a sounding board. And I go, it's all right. They're all wankers. Ignore it. And that's what I found myself doing with Rutger Bregman this morning. He was
I didn't know about it.
He was like, oh, right. I've been on. I said, how is it? A nice early start. What have you been doing? And he went, well, I've done a few things. He goes, it's so weird, the British media, isn't it? I said, what do you mean by that? And he went, well, I went on a show called This Week yesterday. He goes, and like three people ganged up on me. And I said, who were they? Andrew Neil goes, yeah, that's one of them. He said, I can't remember who the other two are. And I went, was one a sort of big rubber faced sort of posh man? He went, yes. And I said, Michael Portillo. He went, yes. I don't know who he is. What's he about? So I said, basically, he was an arch cunt in the 90s. He was like the worst. Like the most right-wing Tory cunt, and he was supposed to be next Prime Minister, and it didn't work out, so he reinvented himself as a fucking train enthusiast in pink trousers, and now he sort of tricked everyone into thinking he's not that much of a cunt. I said, but the thing is, he is a cunt.
And Rutger's like, ah, it makes sense now, yeah.
Rutger Bregman by this stage is thinking, who is this fucking cunt that the big issue have stuck me in a room with, because he keeps swearing and I can't quite follow what he's on about. And he said, oh, okay, yeah, I have, and you know, get thrown in with these guys, and I don't really know who they are, but they really ganged up on me and they didn't want to listen at all. They just wanted to attack me. And I was like, all right, well, anyway, before all that, I turned up at the publisher's fancy publisher in West End, all kind of oak panel bookshelves and blah blah. I walk into the reception, it's very early, and I asked for the person, the publicist, who is supposed to be meeting me and putting me in the room and setting up the interview. She was the one who set up the whole thing. So I go, morning. And it's a young bloke.
Right.
And he goes, yes. Already I'm like, bit of a cunt. He sort of looked, he was sitting in this very grandiose oak panelled room on a huge desk. It was like the Oval Office.
Yeah.
But with a Bluetooth headset on answering the phones, right? Hell. And I'm thinking, this cunt. He's looked down his nose at me. I mean, obviously, I've got a chip on my shoulder, so. But I'm thought, what's his fucking problem? Because this is a posh kind of literary publisher, and he thinks that he's better than the average person.
Does he think you've come here to try and get some free books?
That's what he probably thought. So, anyway, I said, morning. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know if most of the people going through this posh place don't have the same joie de vie and cheeky cockney chirpiness that I carry with me everywhere I go. Yeah. Maybe that's what wrong-footed him. I don't know.
Morning, Squire.
If he'd had an apple on his desk, you know what I would have done? Picked it up, bounced it off my arm, caught it, taken a bite, and then give it back to him and gone, go on, mate, I'm only mucking about. Like that. He didn't have an apple on his desk. But that's the way I like to come off. I was in a good mood. It was Friday.
He might have thought you'd come to deliver toilet rolls or something.
I don't, possibly. He goes, yes. And I said, he was young. And I went, I'm here to see, and I said the name, right? And I gave the full name, and he went, I said, I'm here to interview one of your authors. Oh, that was it. I said, I'm here to interview one of your authors. I'm here to see, I think the name's Kate. And he just stared back at me and shrugged as if to say,
ooh,
what am I supposed to do with that? So I went, OK, hang on a minute. And I had to get my laptop out and look at my email to check what her name was. And I gave the full name. And he just said, fine. And he typed something in. He didn't pick up the phone. He typed something in.
Right.
And this is something I've noticed about millennials. They don't like speaking on the phone. Everything's done by email or text or WhatsApp. Yeah, that's what it is. And we'll get on to his anxiety, right? Because that became an issue later in this exchange. Right?
This is going to be a two-part episode, isn't it?
And I go, oh, and the other name I've got here, because I'm thinking, weird he hasn't picked up the phone, he's just tapped something on the computer. I go, the other name I've got here is Emma. And this is what he did. He shrugged and he made this noise. And I went, what's funny about that? And he went, I was still smiling at this stage, and he went, Emma is the most common name we have in this building. There is no way.
What does that say about the publishing industry?
I can find an Emma if you don't have a surname. Like, I'm the cunt.
Yeah.
So I go, oh, okay.
You don't got any Demi Lees.
And I go, okay, fine. Look, where's your toilet? Because while you're sorting that out, I'm going to go for a... Well, I didn't tell him. But anyway, I went off. And while I was there having a piss, I started winding myself up. I was thinking, that bloke's a fucking cunt. Right, I've told him I'm here to interview one of his authors. Yeah. He should be able to work out, therefore, that he should be calling the publicity department. And how many fucking Emmas can there be
in one department, right? So I come back, and this is what happens. I walk back in, still trying to be my chirpy self, and I go, any luck? And he went, pardon? And I went, any luck? And he went, luck with what? And I said, well, what do you think? And he said, I don't know what you're referring to. And I said, have you had any luck with finding the people I'm here to see? And he said, well, if you mean have I emailed them to tell them that you're here, yes, I have.
Emailed them?
And so I said, I did, this is one that my mum used to always do when people were cunts when I was a kid, so I picked up on them. I said, excuse me, have I done something to upset you? Right, turn it round on them.
Yeah.
And he went, I've no idea what you mean by that. And I said, well, you seem a bit upset or annoyed, like I'm being a bit of an inconvenience. I'm sorry, it's just that I was supposed to meet someone here at 9 o'clock and I don't want to be for them to think that I'm late. He said, I've done everything that you've asked me to do. I can't imagine why I might have offended you. I said, oh, hang on a minute. I didn't say that I offended you. I said that I thought I'd upset you because from the moment I've walked in, you seemed a little bit like I've been an annoyance to you. And he said, I have done everything asked of me. And I said, well, you haven't picked up the phone to find these people. He said, you were very unclear about who it was. I have emailed them. They don't have phone lines. And I said, plus this Emma character, I said, you must be able to work out that I am a journalist here to meet that someone, an author. So it's probably the publicity department. He goes, there are three publicity departments. I've emailed them. He said, and you're actually being very confrontational. And I said, listen, mate, I said, this isn't me. I don't go around doing this to people. I just don't understand why you're acting like this. And he went, you don't go around acting like this with other people. I said, no. He went, well, I'm surprised because you've been confrontational from the moment you walked in. He was young, real sort of slightly hipsterish, very posh.
Yeah.
And I went, this is unbelievable. And then I went, I go to quite, by this stage, other people are walking into the room, sticking their head round the corner and then going away again. They fucking know. They've come to have a look, right? They can see I'm fucking serious business.
They know what he's like as
I'm
well.
I'm like this. Fucking come on in if you want some as well, cunt. I started off nice and you fucking threw it in my face. So now Mr. Cunt's turned up. It wasn't like that, but that's, you know. And I've gone, and I was like, I said, I go to a lot of different offices, right? I said, and when I come into reception, usually someone doesn't wait for me to speak before saying hello, right? They say, hello, can I help you?
Yeah.
I said, then they assist me, even if I don't know the full details of the person I'm seeing, right?
Yeah.
And they just seem to want to help.
I said, it's kind of their job.
I said, but you don't want to, you don't seem to want to do that. And I said, when I came back in and said, what, any luck? I said, I felt you were a bit facetious. He went, what do you mean? And I said, well, I said any luck. And you said, luck with what? I said, you know what I meant? He went, I literally had no idea what you meant by that. And I said, you don't know what I mean by any luck. He goes, any luck with what? I mean, I didn't know what luck had to do with it. When he said that, I thought, okay, and I don't mean this in a mocking way, but when he said, I didn't understand what luck had to do with any of it, I thought, maybe this guy is a bit, you know, touched in the nut. I don't know if that's the phrase that is acceptable these days.
It's there, I think, yeah.
I thought maybe he's out where the buses don't run or something
that.
Because it was a little bit Rain Man-y to say that.
Right.
And I said, whoa, hang on a minute. Are you telling me that you literally didn't know the meaning of the phrase, any luck? And he went, I know what any luck means, but I don't see how it's relevant to what I was supposed to
is
be doing.
Is this result spot that's been put in
it
a
was like this. And I went, I cannot believe this. And then I went, I tell you what, mate, all I'm telling you, right, is the way that you come across. I said, now you can take that or you can leave it. I said, but this is how you come across. You work on reception. You're the face of this company when people come in. I said, these are not this is, you've not made me feel welcome in the least, right? And he went, well, anyway, I'm not actually a receptionist. I'm just filling in something. I went, oh, I see. I see. I see what's going on here. And he went, what do you mean? I said, oh, I'm not a receptionist. I'm more important than that.
I'm an actor between jobs.
You fucking cunt. I went, fuck me. All right, do you know what? Forget the whole thing. At this stage, the woman came in and I said, she went, oh, are you Sam? I went, yeah. And I went, okay. She went, yeah. I went, have you got a phone number in this building? She went, sorry. I said, have you got a phone number in this building? Right, because he had said she doesn't have a phone number. That was why she went. And I thought, here's where he gets made into a cunt.
Yeah. Right?
And she went, actually, no, I don't. Ugh. And I was like, fuck! All right, let's go. And fucking Rutger Bregman, this fucking intellectual's there looking at me. And I go, hello, mate. Oh, sorry, I've just had a massive row with that receptionist. And the receptionist is just looking back at me. He's fucking baffled. But that's not me, Andy. I don't go around fucking having rows with people. Not these days, anyway. I used to when I was younger a bit. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, the reason I'm sharing it is cathartic. And over to you. Is this a case of Delaney the cunt, as you have said so many of my stories are in life? Or is this, in fact, Delaney has been is justifiably upset?
The only thing you did or didn't do, which I would have done, would have been to go in armed with the full name of the person I was supposed to be meeting.
Hang on. I gave him I was given two names. Yeah. One was a full name, which I gave him, and he emailed her.
Did you not see you had to get your laptop out to get that name?
Yes,
up.
I said, hang on a minute, I'm here to interview Rutger Bregman. He went, and he just looked back at me and sort of shrugged, like he didn't know who that was, which reflects really bad on the company, because he's one of their big authors, right?
Yeah.
And I go, oh, I thought you'd know. Because I thought maybe they'd told him we've got someone coming to interview Rutger Bregman.
They've got three publicity departments. Why don't they tell him?
So then I go, hang on a minute, I'll give you the full name. I get the laptop out and say, this is the name.
That's fine.
Then he sends the email. And then when I can see he's not going to do anything else, I say, oh, hang on this email, it says, if I'm not around, ask for Emma.
Right.
And that was when he went, puh.
They're all Emmas.
Everyone's Emma here, you cunt. Fucking Emma.
Nah, you're not the cunt in this situation, Sam.
But he's maybe not the cunt, because by the end I thought, this is the behaviour of someone who might be a bit bonkers
on
in the nut.
On the spectrum, you think?
On the spectrum, that's the phrase.
Yeah.
Bit spectrum-y. And I nearly said it, and then I thought, no, that'll be really rude, then I will be the cunt.
Yeah.
But at one stage I did notice his bottom lip going a little bit, and I thought, right, the last thing I need is for him to be crying when Rutger Bergman turns in. Well, Rutger Bergman's this guy who's like got this radical left-wing way to save the world, right, which is about taxing the rich and giving everyone, every citizen, rich, poor or otherwise, a £12,000 basic income.
Okay.
And he's got a load of science behind why that would make life better for all of us, right?
But we're going to have to do this eventually, because the robots are going to take over.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons. And then there's loads of other reasons as well. And, you know, he makes a good case for it.
Is it a good book?
It is good, yeah. Right. I can recommend it. And you know, you might not agree with everything in there, but it's certainly a challenge. It's challenging, but also he doesn't write it all boring. He's like, he writes it in a funny way. He's an academic who writes like...
Like Poochie the dog from that episode of The Simpsons.
Yes, exactly. Rubbery. Keeps going on about a lot of things being rubbery, but whatever. And Ross Edges. And he goes, but I thought, you know, I'd read the book. I thought he's a nice, compassionate, loving man who believes in the power of humanity to overcome all. And I thought, if he turns up and I'm fucking looming over this young receptionist and he's fucking crying.
Yeah.
Then he's going to get things off to a bad start. So I hope, luckily,
you're representing the big issue.
And that's what makes it even funnier. I've just beaten up the receptionist. Anyway, can someone make me a fucking cup of tea? I'm gasping after all that beating.
You don't fuck with a big issue.
Right, and you tell all your other fucking authors and everyone else who wants to know, this is how we fucking operate. At the BI.
Them homeless people who sell the mags, who do you think put them there?
Yeah, that was it, actually. We all started as bailiffs. We were doing so many evictions. In the end, we had an army of homeless people. We didn't know what to do.
We thought, how can we monetise this?
Let's start a fucking magazine about them.
Get the cunts to sell it in the middle of the road.
That's the beauty of it. They sell it themselves, the daft bastards. And of course, if we stop having homeless, then we go out of business, don't we?
Let's just draw a line under that before you jeopardise your future relationship with the big issue, yeah. Sam.
No, I think they're well aware that I'm a cunt at the big issue.
Okay.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
Right. Should we? I'll quickly tell you in shorter form because... In light of the dramatic morning I've had, it seems...
But in short, no, you were not the cunt.
No, good. Thanks, Andy. That means a lot. Right, I've processed that now. Good. I picked up my daughter from school...
I'm glad I came all the way from Sunderland to London for this.
I picked up my daughter from school yesterday. She'd had 3 days off ill, right? And she'd gone back in school to catch up, and I go, what's been going on?
Mm.
And she's like... Nuh. And her mate's in the back, and her mate goes, well, I'll just tell you the simple version. A dog got into the school.
Yes.
Now, everyone knows that's great. So yeah. I'm like, brilliant. Andy, I pulled over and stopped the engine. They were in the back of the car because I thought, I want to fucking get the full lowdown on this.
I was just going to say, did you pull over?
I said, where did the dog come from? I undid my seatbelt. I turned round to him in the back. Fucking hell, it gets better. The dog had escaped from a vet in Putney.
Fuck.
And had been on the run for almost a week.
Whoa!
They'd heard in advance that there was a stray dog on the run from a vet, right? And it was behaving in a volatile manner.
Shit.
Suddenly, the dog comes into school, about 2 miles down from where it's escaped, right? Yeah. It's just been rogue. It comes in the school
like
and
a big issue,
and
seller.
And it starts behaving in a volatile way, right? And so everyone's fucking running around shitting themselves in school. It's brilliant, basically, because all bets are off, right? You don't have to go to like, that's the dog! That's the fucking dog, right? Anyway,
it's the volatile dog!
The head of year, who I find a peculiar person anyway, I don't know him that well, but suffice to say, I've heard that he walks his cat on a lead, right? So... red flag. Anyway.
Draw your own conclusions.
Yeah. Alarm bells. Right. He's fucking run out into the chaos. The kids are all shitting themselves because this notorious local, it's like Bigfoot's turned up, right? He's fucking panicked and thought, everyone back away. I will deal this. So he tried to capture the dog.
Oh,
he
yeah.
ran up. He chased the dog. You can imagine how much fun the kids are having. Yeah. All these kids are watching ahead of year chase a fucking stray dog around the field.
Impossible.
He caught it.
Oh.
He tried to pick it up. Fuck knows what his next... I mean, it was one of those things he didn't know what he was going to do once he caught it.
Yeah.
He caught it, he picked it up. Dog fucking bit him on the hand. The head of the year. And then escaped and fucked off. And everyone's like this. Yes! Yeah!
And it hasn't been found since?
No, it's still at large. It's still at large. I'm hoping to come across him. He's my hero.
Yeah. The littlest hobo was some...
My son was in the car. So my daughter's 11. This all happened at a secondary school, right? Yeah. And it just sounded the most exciting thing. My son, who's still at primary school, he's 7. He's in the back. I'm thinking, I wonder what he's going to say about all this. After a pause, I've been laughing for ages. He said to my daughter's mate, what subspecies was the dog? I went, subspecies? What do you mean? Do you know what he meant? Breed.
Yeah.
But in his mind, he thinks, maybe it's right. He thinks that there is a dog is the breed. And
species,
like,
dog.
Species, subspecies. Dog. Subspecies, Labrador.
Yeah.
He just went deadly seriously. What subspecies was the dog? It's got nothing to do with it. Actually, I do want to know now. So anyway, I was tremendously excited about that, and hopefully this dog will stay on the loose because I like animals that confound authority.
I know there's a call in America for schools to be armed, but you would think that at the very least they would have tranquilizer guns in all
or
schools worldwide.
Dog traps.
Yeah.
A dog trap would be a box with a lid held up by a stick, and there's a load of meat, a big juicy steak at the back of the box. Dog walks in, knocks the stick, door goes down, bingo, send it back to the vet. In fact, I might go in offer that. I might build one and take it down to school and charge them for it.
Yeah, do that.
I'll masquerade as a dog catcher. oh, I'm a local dog catcher. I've had trouble with a dog coming around and biting your end of year.
I'm a travelling dog catcher.
And they go,
I read on the internet.
Aren't you Mr. Delaney? You're one of the fathers of the Year 7s. No, I'm pretty sure this Mr. Delaney you speak of doesn't have a nice big bushy moustache like this one.
But he sounds like a lovely fella.
I travel the land catching dogs. It may be that you are putting the safety not only of your staff but also your student body at risk by not having a man like me operate on the premises until said dog is captured.
I have been CBT checked and all that stuff.
I'm not a nonce if that's what you are suspecting. That's not what this is about. I'm genuinely here to catch a dog. In my bag, I simply have a steak, a large box and a stick. These are the tools of my trade.
Red hot content.
Now, let's get down to this fucking email.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so...
from an anonymous contributor, an anonymous cunter.
So I'm wearily trying to catch up on the cunter emails, because, as we've discussed before, 99% shit. Mm. But it's moments like this where you realise it's worth fucking wading through the shit to find this diamond. Hi guys, love the podcast. Only heard 3 or 4 weeks ago, smashed every episode. Blah blah blah. I have a sex veil story that I thought would suit. Try to make it short as possible. At this stage I'm looking at me, it's a fair few paragraphs, mate. Yeah. Better be fucking good. And I'm already like, I bet it's shit.
I probably would have ignored it.
Yeah, I'm so glad I didn't. About 8 years ago, when I was a young single guy, I was out in a different town. Ooh. I pulled a girl in a bar who asked me the question everyone wants to hear. Fancy coming back to mine? No hesitation, I nodded and we left. We walked back to hers when, at the front door, she proceeded to tell me this wasn't where she lived. She was staying at her dad's for the weekend. Ooh, worrying.
Hmm.
No problem, I thought. Well, I thought, good, brave bloke, because I would have bottled it. No problem. We make our way to the living room, where there's about 5 or 6 guys smoking weed and watching TV. Oh, no, I know those guys.
Warning signs.
I know those fucking guys. Fucking 5 or 6 guys sitting around on a Saturday night smoking weed and watching TV.
We've been those guys.
Although I was definitely older than these guys, they are what I'd describe as bigger boys, brackets, fancy themselves as hard men. Oh, this is a nightmare. I'd have been really intimidated. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you're there with this bird and you just think you're going back to immediately have it off with, and suddenly there's like 5 or 6 rough lads being intimidating and smoking weed, and you're like, oh, all right, lads.
Send it to some kind of console game where various tasks have to be achieved.
I said, hi. Then asked my new missus where her room was. To my disbelief, she pointed at a single mattress in the corner of the living room. She then told me to get comfy as she was going to get ready.
What, the same room that the guys are in?
This is the weird bit that remains unexplained. Like, was she... and she said she's going to get ready. I don't know what that means. Maybe have a little wash, a spruce up and put on her fancy undies. Who knows? And he's like, still there. I would have said, hang on, what? Are you proposing that we have it off in the corner of this room while these cunts, like, watch telly? Anyway, he doesn't really explain that bit, but it's the first super weird bit of the email. So a few minutes passed by, no sign of her. So I was having to engage with the bigger boys. They asked me what I wanted to watch. Right, this is the second best bit of the whole email. So there's all these rough lads. They're looking at me and a bit weird. This bloke who's come back. It's unexplained who they are and how what their relationship is to this bird.
Yeah.
But suddenly they've gone, what do you want to watch? Which to me sounds like a big
power play.
In a panic, I thought of the first film that came to my head. Notting Hill. All right, lads. All right, mate. Want a toke on that? Yeah, sure. I smoke weed all the time. It's quite a nice setup you got here. Yeah. Do you want to watch something? Yeah, all right, fine. What do you want to watch? Notting Hill? You got Notting Hill? I just love Hugh Grant. What a fucking hell. How did he come out with that? To my amazement, they had it and they put it on. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, no problem, mate. Yeah, we got it.
We watched it a couple of days ago, but we watch it again.
Steve, put on Notting Hill. Put on Notting Hill, I said. He's a guest.
Oh, God.
Right, so he said, no sooner had Hugh Grant started talking, the leader of the bigger boys asked me what my intentions were with the girl I'd come back with. Trying to impress, I said, simple, really. Get in, get out, never see her again.
Oh,
why did
man.
You say that? You don't know who these blokes are.
Jeez, and there's six of them.
Horrible man, I know, but it was different times. Imagine my horror when the leader told me she was his sister. Imagine that.
What are your intentions with her? Simple, mate. Get in, get out, never see her again. Oh, really? She's my fucking sister.
Fucking you're not done hell. Yourself many favours. Desperately trying to backtrack, I was saved by her coming back into the room, but she was admittedly a little worse for wear. From her state and my interaction with her brother, there was no way anything was on the cards. Yeah, and the fact that the mattress is in the corner of the fucking room. I decided to tell everyone I was leaving, but the moment I stood up, the alcohol kicked in and I immediately threw up in my mouth. I ran out the front door and started throwing up all over their front garden. The bigger boy saw me out of the window and the leader yelled, leg him!
Leg him!
I don't know what leg him is. Does that mean chase him or kick his head in?
But the boys, they were all right with him. He turned up with the bird, they were all right.
Yeah.
He asked for Notting Hill, they were all right. They asked what his intentions were. He said to fuck her and then fuck off. They were still all right.
But then he threw up
in the garden, kick his head in. I don't understand. They had a weird criteria, these blokes. A chase ensued, and luckily I managed to get away from them. Unfortunately for me, I was in a village I didn't know. No battery and no idea where I was. I was now a stray man.
Oh!
Yes, he puts in the fucking... That's what's so great about this email. It segues from terrible sex fail
Fantastic.
To stray man. After what seemed like an hour of wandering around, I stumbled across an obviously closed Morrison's. There was no clear sleeping points. Good term, that. Sleeping point. Yeah. Right, where are my sleeping points?
Yeah.
I think that's an SAS term, isn't it?
Must be.
So I settled in the trolley loading bit. Oh, where's the trolley loading?
The trolley loading bit?
I think that's that bit where, you know, when you're in the car park.
Oh, the shelter and they've got all the trolleys in them.
Yeah.
Right, got
yeah.
it. Yeah.
He's identified that as a potential sleeping
Good.
Point.
Good, roof.
Yeah.
Good.
This is fucking brilliant, though, right? This is such great, skilled stray manning. There was no clear sleeping point, so I settled in the trolley loading bit, got cosy in the corner, and pulled a few trolleys close to me.
That's the best bit.
That's the only bit that's better than him asking for Notting Hill, is that he uses trolleys as his blanket. Wire metal trolleys. That is. This is why this
Shelter
bloke is the best
elements.
Stray man we've had.
This is good.
I didn't know blanket, so I just pulled a load of fucking trolleys over me, didn't I? Yeah, they'll do. They'll keep me nice and warm. After what was probably a couple of hours sleep, I woke up to sound of parking cars. I walked into Morrison's and sheepishly asked the customer service team if I could use the phone to call my mum. I was 24 at the time. My mum being the hero she is, she drove a 30-minute journey very early on a Sunday morning to come and get her adult son, who'd been asleep in a Morrison's trolley house, sick all down his shirt. I've never had a better shower than that glorious Sunday morning back at home. Love the pod, boys. Very obviously not a burner email. Really appreciate
you
not
using
it.
You said his initials there. I'm going to have to bleep them out
as well. I don't know. I mean, I just thought, when I read it, I thought, I can't wait till Monday to get this email off my chest. Notting Hill, the mattress in the corner.
The trolleys.
He had me just at the point of him walking into the room. That moment where you think you're onto one thing and it turns out to be another thing. So you walk in with this girl thinking, this is great. I can't believe it. It's too good to be true. I pulled her so easily. And then you walk in to be confronted by six intimidating lads all smoking weed and eyeing you up, and then to make matters worse you ask if you can watch Notting Hill with them.
I need to know more about the girl and the whole chat up scenario and her saying, are you going to come back to mine? Because did she use him as bait? Was the idea
yes
that
that's what I would have thought,
the six guys wanted a victim to be brought back,
take him you know, like in
he's
Pulp Fiction,
with his life there.
Where he goes, Zed, the spider's caught a fly.
Yeah.
It's like one of those situations. Or did they want his kidney? That's often a thing.
Maybe.
Like, they go, right, you go out, pull a butt bloke, an idiot, bring him back, and we will, once you've got him in the house, we will put on Notting Hill to distract him.
Yeah.
And then just so you get into the good bit, where Elvis Costello's doing She and Hugh Grant's walking along through the market and the seasons change. Best bit.
I've never seen it.
We'll whack him over the head with a sock full of gravel, and then we'll whip out his kidney.
Stitch him up all nice, but then send him on his way, and he's not going to say anything to anyone because of the embarrassment.
When he wakes up, he'll be under a load of trolleys in Morrison's car park. Yeah, basically, what we're saying is we want a prequel. We want the Phantom Menace of this story. It's fair to say one of our all-time favourites.
It's a good one. It's up there, definitely. Yeah, but so we need more.
It's worth more. We want a prequel, please. Thank you so much. And you should be honoured because it's the first email that's triggered an emergency Top Flight Time Machine bulletin.
These are the times we're living in, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're living from day to day at the minute, so.
24 rolling news agenda. And people need to stay up to speed with these things. You need to stay informed.
Yeah. All right, that's it then, I reckon.
For our bonus episode,
yeah. Yeah, I'll go back to Sunderland now.
Yeah, see you, mate. Thanks for coming down for that. I think you'll agree it was worth it.
Definitely. Thanks. Bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.